Father, we just come to you. We thank you so much, Lord, for this time that we've had, Lord, to come and to be just set apart, Lord, from the busyness of our lives, God, to just really sit at your feet and allow you, Lord, just to speak to us and allow you, Lord, to change us, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. And we pray, God, that, Lord, as I speak, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, and just that I would be led by your Holy Spirit. And Father, that our eyes would just be fixed upon you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the title of this teaching is Remaining in the Son. And, you know, I think about last night and I think about all today, and we've just been so encouraged and so blessed by all the teachings, and just been given a lot to think about and a lot to pray about, and hopefully all of our hearts are just stirred up for what he's doing and for what's important in this life. And I know some of you are probably thinking, I wish this weekend wouldn't end. I wish it would just keep going. And this is just so neat and it's just so exciting. And the reason you feel that way is because we have given him first place in our life, and we have given him our full attention this weekend. You have been saturated with the word, you've been saturated with prayer, you've been saturated with worship, and those are all things that point to him. And the exciting thing, girls, is that you don't have to be bummed that it's over, because this should be just the beginning. And for some of you, it is just the beginning. Maybe you have never had a devotional life with the Lord. Maybe you have never spent that time with him and set aside that time for him. Start now. May this be the starting point of that. And if you are, and if you have had a devotional life, what's exciting about that is that we can never be done in our growing, and we can never be done knowing about him. And so for all of eternity, we're going to be going deeper and deeper and deeper. He's so deep that all of eternity isn't enough. We're going to grow closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to him. So be encouraged, be encouraged. So we're finding ourselves falling more in love with the Lord because we have spent time at his feet. We've remained focused and fixed on him and giving him all the attention that he deserves. So I'm talking about remaining in the Son, S-O-N. To remain, a lot of us know what that means, but to remain means to continue, to rest, or abide in a place. And we hear the word remain and we hear the word abide in the Word of God quite frequently, and they're very similar, and they can really be interchanged with each other. So to abide means to dwell, also to continue, to be firm and immovable, to endure or sustain. And where are we to remain and to abide? Sometimes you go, well, okay, that's a big Christian word. What does that mean? We are to abide in the presence of the Lord always. And that starts with setting aside time for him. And we've heard that throughout the entire weekend. And our teachings have kind of gone like this. And it's a blessing because the Lord wants to speak to you. That's exactly what he's doing. And so, and you hear devotions and you hear, you know, all of that. It is vital in our Christian walk to have time set aside every day with Jesus. Do you realize that he's a real person? We don't do this. We don't go to church. We don't serve the Lord because it's the right thing to do. We do it because we love Jesus. And he is real. He is alive. And he wants to speak very personally to each and every one of you in that quiet time with him. And I was reminded of, if I can use Amy as an example, and that was not a coincidence that she got that paper that said the great physician. That's an example of how the Lord wants to speak to you. It was personal. It was special just for Amy. We didn't plan that. God did that. When you spend time with him, he does that for you every day. He speaks to you in a personal way every day. So it's vital. It's vital. He has an appointment every day to talk to you. but not only to talk to you, to listen to you, to spend time with you. He loves you. It's not enough just to go to church on Sundays. He wants to meet you every day. The God of the universe wants to meet with you and speak to you every single day. Will you meet with him for this date? And I like to call it a date, and we'll talk about it more in a minute, but we're going to talk about what we can look forward to when we do make that time for the Lord, and we're going to see what happens when we don't. So I want you to take a look at my science experiment in front, and plant A and plant B were bought on the same day. They're my African violets, and it really broke my heart to treat the other one, to treat this one so poorly. I hated to do that, but what I did was I bought them. I watered them. They each were in the sun for one day, and then I took plant A, and I put it in a closet, and it didn't see the sun for 1 week. Plant B was in the sun every day, and if you see, it was only a week, but if you see which one's healthier, which one is more beautiful, which one is more vibrant, which one is healthy, and if you feel the soil, one, plant A is very dry, and I'll water it as soon as I can, but plant B is moist, healthy, and not thirsty. Its needs have been met. So, are you getting to spend time in the sun, S-O-N, just on Sundays? Or are you spending time in the sun, S-O-N, every single day? And what this looks like is what's happening in our heart, and we're all the same. If we don't remain in the sun every single day, we will start to wither away and die and be dry. So let's keep that in mind as we turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, this psalm was written by David in the wilderness of Judah, east of Jerusalem, where he spent much of his time fleeing from Saul. And as we know, Saul was seeking to kill him. And if you can even imagine, we say that so flippantly, but if we can imagine what it would be like for someone to be trying to kill you, and you know at all times they want you dead, and they are after you, and you're running and hiding, and how terrifying that would be. So David was no stranger to trial, to tribulation, to fear, to all of those things. But he also knew what it meant to be in the presence of God. So we're going to go ahead and read Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. Excuse me. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as marrow with fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. So God created us for a fellowship with him, and it's because of this that our souls have a great need to be close to our Creator. A close walk with the Lord is essential to living a life of holiness and being ready for his return. We cannot simply just try our best and be holy. We need to be continually dipping into that oil. And so as you spend time with him every day, that's what you're doing. You're dipping into that oil and you're being ready. You're being ready, and you are desiring a life of holiness. And it's through his power that he gives you the power to live a life of holiness set apart for him. It is nothing in and of ourselves. That's why we so desperately need him every day. So as we see in verse 1, it says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. To start our day putting the Lord first, we're acknowledging that we need him. We can't do it on our own. And that we're giving him his rightful place in our life. And I understand I remember being a very, you know, a mom with very young little ones, and I would try and set that early time aside. And, you know, they wake up in such sporadic times. Sometimes it just wouldn't happen. And, you know, the Lord is so merciful. He's so graceful. If that happens, don't worry about it. God understands that. Where should your mind go first thing in the morning? If you can't go spend that quiet time with the Lord, start praising him, Lord, and just talking to him. Lord, thank you. Good morning. You know, that's early. Will you seek him? That's what you're doing. And then if I didn't get that in the morning, I would aim to do it at nap time or in the evening, whatever worked. You know, if husband has to take baby for a little while and say, I need to spend my time with Jesus, do it. Do it. Because you will be a different mom and a different wife if you do that. So to start our day, putting the Lord first, we're acknowledging. Oh, I already read that. I'm sorry. And you know what? You may have heard phrases like the secret place or the hiding place. Those phrases are referring to that set aside quiet time with Jesus. And it is at that secret place that we open up our hearts and our mind to the Lord. He fills us with himself. He shows us, he speaks to us a vast number of treasures that are specifically and special just for you. As you grow in your quiet time with the Lord, and as you find out those vast number of treasures, your time in itself, with Jesus, will become the treasure. And I look so forward to it every day. And I just can't anymore go without a day with him. I have to have him. And that's what will happen. And if you are disciplined and you start, even if you say, okay, I'm just going to do 20 minutes of quiet time with the Lord. And I mean, like, set aside quiet, close the door, you know, do your best to have that quiet time. You'll see that 20 minutes isn't enough. And if you're disciplined and you do that every day, it's like you have to have it. You're thirsty for it. Like that plant, it needs that water. So, and it's there at that hiding place where he will transform you into his image and fill you with everything you need to be the woman of God that he has created you to be. We need to remain in the sun daily. All right. In verse 1, it's talking about our great need that we have for God. We need to recognize that we can't do without him. This is the first step to remaining in him. Our soul thirsts for him and our flesh longs for him. I love how it says very clearly that we so desperately need him in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So if you would, real quickly, to go ahead and turn to John chapter 4. And this is one of my favorite portions of scripture, and it's a Bible study in and of itself, but it's on the Samaritan woman, and I love this portion of scripture, but we're going to start at verse 7. So John chapter 4, verse 7, and we're going to read to 14. It says, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of living water, of water, springing up into everlasting life.'" So this world is so empty and can give us nothing but just wanting more. When we meet with our Jesus in the morning, he fills that great need of closeness with him. And as we pray, as we open up his word, he speaks life into our hearts and souls. He fills our thirst. We need him continually to fill us, not with one drink on Sunday mornings like we talked about, but drinking from the living water daily. Look at the plants. Remember that picture. We don't want to be the one that's barely hanging on there, okay? We want to thrive and be healthy and happy. Doesn't that one look happy and the other one looks sad. It just looks so sad to me. I'm going to fix that. But let's go ahead and go back to verse 2 in Psalm 63. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. There's no better way to see the Lord's power and glory than through prayer in our quiet time. As we pour our heart to the Lord for the loved ones who need salvation, for children who may have gone astray, for financial needs, for wisdom in difficult situations, for peace in the storms, for strength to live holy, set apart lives, for new and fresh vision to ministry, we get to see his power and his glory as he answers prayer and changes us. We also get to converse with our God. Communication is key in any relationship, in the deepest of relationships. You think the deepest relationship on earth is husband and wife. Communication is key. You can't grow close. You can't grow deeper in love with each other without talking to each other. The same applies for the Lord, if not more so. And it's awesome because when we put him first, it's like that in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. He comes first, and then you watch him. Everything else falls into place. You know, that doesn't mean the storms go away, but everything else falls into place. Prayer is vital in our remaining or abiding in God. Matthew 6:6 says, but you then, you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I would encourage you to find a quiet, all by yourself place. This is especially hard again for us moms, but if that means getting up earlier than them, do it. It's so worth it. And you know what? Sometimes we think, oh, I need the sleep more than that. I'm going to be cranky if I don't get the sleep. It's funny. God multiplies that sleep. When we put him first, I'll wake up super early in the morning and think, okay, I'm just going to be exhausted. But he rejuvenates and he refreshes and he blesses and honors that time that you spent with him. And he gets you through the day just fine. He gives you everything you need. So, it's in the secret place where he nestles us to himself and he fills us with his love and he floods us with his peace in any situation. He gives us everything we need in him to face the sometimes mountainous days. And sometimes I feel like that. I wake up and there's a mountain in front of me. But he's with me and I don't have to climb the mountain alone. And he gives me everything I need to climb that mountain. So do you have a mountain in front of you? What's the answer? We go to him and we ask. In John 14:13, it says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Isaiah 25:4 says, for you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. We need to remember that prayer is not just one-sided. Yes, he wants you to pour out your heart to him, but it's also just as important to be listening for him to speak to you. When we are still before him, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that he is God. He will speak when he has your attention, so we have to be still. All right, ladies, let's go ahead and go back to Psalm 63. We're going to read verses 3 through 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. Here we see when we spend time with the Lord, we experience his great love and know for ourselves that it's better than life. By being in the Lord's presence, we know we're loved. Therefore, we know our worth in him. And we have a confidence in Christ that is evident in our life. We just are comfortable because he loves us. We're comfortable in who we are because he loves us. And it's really that simple. I don't really care what anybody thinks about me, other than if I hurt you, obviously, please let me know and I'll apologize. But I don't care. It's like, no, I know who I am in Jesus. And that's what happens when you're at the feet of him. So he gives you that confidence in him. No one can love us more perfectly than the Lord. And when someone is loved, they are happy, safe, and content. And I think of little kids, you know, the little babies. When they're loved and they feel safe, they are content, they're happy, and you just know that baby's loved, you know? Think of little Emily. So Verse 3 says, we see our response to that love. He says, our lips shall praise him. We can't help but praise him when coming into his presence. And as you read the Psalms, it always cracks me up because the psalmist, it comes, and in the beginning, it's usually over. They're overwhelmed. Woe to me. And we, hey, that's me. And, oh God, I can't do this. And, oh my goodness, you know. By the end of the psalm, there's praise. So it's like you pour out your heart to the Lord, oh, and then you all of a sudden you realize this is the Lord and you praise him. So you just can't help but praise him. How many of times have we gone before the Lord so overwhelmed with life, and in that time with him, he transformed our heart and soul and fills us with himself. And all of a sudden, you know, did our circumstances change? No, we did. He changed us. So just by abiding with our Lord, and our God, we find that he is so worthy to be praised. He has saved you, he's taken care of you, and he loves you. Psalm 13:6 says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. I love that. In verse 4 of chapter 63, it says, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. To bless him while we live is praise, but it's also living your life holy and set apart for him. In that quiet time with the Lord, reading his word and prayer, we receive the strength and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do this. And when we spend that time in the Lord's presence daily, we understand what it means to be set apart for him and free from sin. And that doesn't mean that we don't ever sin, because I sin every day and I have to ask the Lord to forgive me and cleanse me. But that's talking about a habitual sin, that you are in habitual sin. God frees you from that. When you are in his word and you are at his feet, you want to do everything to please him. And you don't want to sin, you know, because you know it breaks his heart. The Lord commands us in Leviticus 11:44 to be holy as I am holy. In Deuteronomy 7:6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of this earth. If we look like the world, we are partaking of the things of the world. We're not holy, but we are of the world. So we should look different. We should look different. Our lives should look different. If you are a child of God, we should look like our Father. Again, where do we begin to do this? At the Lord's feet. So his word needs to wash us and cleanse us and transform us. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. In the presence of God, we see that we become satisfied, thankful, and full of contentment. We are so very rich in America. We have an abundance of everything. And yet the world tries to throw more and more our way. And I think as Americans, we don't even know what a need and a want, the difference between a need and a want is. But a good way to help with being content is thanking God every day for what he has given to you. And just ask yourself, you know, between you and the Lord, Lord, am I content? Am I happy with what I have? Do I want what I have already and I'm content with that, or do I want what I don't have? So if you're wanting what you already have and you're happy with that, that's contentment. It's funny how when my eyes are not on the Lord, I simply am not content with what I have. When they're on Jesus, I want for nothing. Another way is to be content is to not look for things that you don't have money for. Or I know some of you like to window shop, and you're fine doing that. I, for one, don't window shop because I find that I just want everything that I don't need and I don't have money for, and I just don't do that to myself. So I only shop when I need something, or if, you know, I know I have money, okay, I can get this shirt or whatever. You know what I mean? So, and if you can't afford it, you shouldn't buy it. God didn't give the money to you for that. You don't need it. So you may be in a situation where you do need him to supply your needs. Even in the midst of great need, God can fill you with himself, and it's amazing to watch him supply those needs if you ask him. So go before the Lord in prayer and ask him. We see in verse 5 that when the Lord satisfies, there's great joy and praise. Joy isn't something we find when everything is going perfect. Joy is knowing who your Father is and trusting that he's going to take beautiful care of you. Watch him fill you with joy for your family, your job, and your ministry as you spend time with him. It's a blessing to spend time with Jesus in the morning because he continues to speak to you throughout the day with whatever you read and whatever he showed you. He continues to bring that to remembrance all day long. And that's why I love the morning time. But and it brings great comfort all day long. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate you in the night watches. We are to be in communion with him all day long. In the Believer's Secret of the Abiding Presence, which is an awesome, awesome book, it's complied writings of Andrew Murray and a man by the name of, they called him Brother Lawrence. And this is a quote from there. It says, "To keep yourself in the actual presence of God, remain in habitual, silent, and secret conversation with God, which will cause you joys and raptures inwardly and sometimes outwardly. Sometimes you may be forced to moderate your inward joys to prevent their appearance to others." So that's what's so neat is you can have this intimate conversation with the Lord all day long and just be filled with his joy. So it's just very cool. It's continual. Verse 7, "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. In the presence of the Lord we find help, comfort, courage, and peace. The Lord is our help. Whether we need help physically, mentally, or spiritually, we need to run to him first." David says here, "Because you have been my help." David had experienced the Lord's help firsthand, and because of his trust in the Lord, he finds comfort and courage in the shadow of his wings. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." The Lord actually surrounds us with songs and rejoices over us with singing. Zephaniah 3:17 is one of my favorite scriptures. "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." I love that. He sings about you. It's so cool. All right, let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 91, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Psalm 91. Verses 1 through 4. "He who dwells in the secret place," there's that phrase again, "in the secret place of the Most High shall abide," remain, dwell, continue, "under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge." That's awesome. When we run to that hiding place, that secret place, we're just like that little chick who runs under the shadow of her mother's wings for safety and shade. He wants us to nestle into him, and to nestle means to settle or lie close and snug to. I love that. It sounds cozy and warm and safe, and that's where he wants us, right, in the shadow of his wings. He may not take the storms away. You know, Linda was sharing, you know, their family has gone through, it was a long storm, you know. They prayed every day, "Lord, take it away." He may not take it away right away, but he is with you every step of the way, and you get to nestle into that hiding place. So, and find comfort and shelter and everything that you need. He told us that we will have trial and tribulation in this life, but to be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. He will never leave us or forsake us during the storm. The victory is ours in Jesus. And finally, thank you for being patient. I know you guys are tired. Verse 8 says, sorry. I lost my place. Verse 8, "My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. He is our good shepherd." And just like that sheep following close after their shepherd, when our soul is following close behind Jesus, we can go through the storms of this life and not be tossed to and fro. Psalm 62, verse 2 says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." And in chapter 61, 2, it says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." It's that picture of the lighthouse, and my dad talked about it a couple weeks ago, you know, talking about Point St. George Lighthouse, and that, you know, it's in the middle of this ocean on this rock, and the lighthouse keepers were safe when they were inside that lighthouse. They were hiding away in that lighthouse. But several of them, when they went out of that lighthouse, a sneaker wave came and took them, and no one found them. And so it's kind of a picture of, you know, we are not to be moved. We're to nestle into that hiding place. If we go far from that hiding place, the storms of this life are going to overwhelm us and take us. So God is our rock that is higher than us. We have to choose and decide every day that's what we want and that's what we need. The Lord isn't going to make you spend special time with him. He's just not. He wants you to want to spend special time with him. Do you want to remain in the sun? It really comes down to John 15, 5. Jesus is talking and he says, "I am the true vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." When we remain in him, there is fruit in our life and much, much blessing. He tells us later in that chapter, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." The Lord always, he knows what's best for us, and he knows that we are going to have extreme joy by spending time in his presence and by abiding in him. And that's why he's telling us, "Abide in me. You can do nothing without me. And I want your joy to be full, and I want that joy to remain in you." So nestle into him, spend that time with him, remain in the sun, and be ready. What happens if we don't remain in him? It leads to spiritual death. Look at our plant. That's only a week, you guys. That's only a week. It will mean spiritual death, okay? Apart from him, we can't live a holy life. We need him. We need him. So Megan mentioned Judas, and that was one of my examples. I think of Judas, and on the outside, he had everybody fooled. He appeared intimately close to Jesus, and yet he was never saved. He chose not to abide in Christ. And in John 15, 6, it says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That door will be shut." Those who do not truly choose to abide in Christ will not be saved. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And apart from him, we cannot know him. We will be like our unhealthy plant who just gets more and more sick and will be separated from God for eternity. So let's choose right now to jump into the treasures of Jesus and give him the time that he so deserves. Start tomorrow morning. Start tomorrow morning. You go, "Oh, well, tomorrow's Sunday. I'll be fed." Have your devotions before you even go to church. Watch the Lord speak to you and then go to church. Your heart will be full. You'll be ready to serve. You'll be ready. Whatever the Lord has for you, your heart is already prepared. Just because you go Sunday, "I'm going to be fed. I don't need to do my devotions." That's still that you need that special time with just you and him. So that shouldn't go away if you're going to church. So you're missing out. That's what I'm trying to say. You're missing out if you don't. You're going to be missing out. If you already have that special time with him, we can never get enough of him. We can never get enough for all of eternity, and I love that. He wants us to constantly be going deeper. So, practical things that I just want to share with you that have helped me in my quiet time and why part of the reason I look forward to it. So here I have a cozy blanket. So find a cozy chair, find a cozy couch, find your special spot, whatever it is. Cozy up with your blanket. Jesus and I every morning have a coffee date. Yeah. And we have coffee together. So make that your special time with him. "Lord, let's have coffee." You got to drink coffee, right? You might as well do it in a nice, quiet. My mom doesn't drink coffee. Tea, hot chocolate, whatever. Light a candle. Just make it special. I encourage encourage you to get a journal or a notebook, because as he speaks things to you, write them down. A special verse that ministers to your heart, or something that you know, he spoke to me, I know this is from him. Write it down. Because you forget, we forget. We go back in a year and we don't remember. So it's neat to see all the ways that he has spoken, how he has moved, the answered prayer, all of that. So keep a journal. What helps me tremendously is a one-year Bible. And I have the Charles Stanley Life Principles, but there's tons of them out there. I like a one-year Bible because it gives you the entire counsel of the Lord. And I like the way that this one specifically is set up, because you're not reading all of Genesis one day, like for months and months. It's split up. So in this one, you get a portion of Old Testament, a portion of New Testament, a portion of Psalms, and a portion of Proverbs. And then you go through the entire book. I love it. And his commentary, his little life lessons on it, it's just, I love it. And then I know some of you have devotionals and things like that. This is a great one by Debbie Bryson. And I noticed it was in the bookstore. It's really great. It's kind of light, though. So I would encourage you, she has one-year Bible reading. So if you do something like this and it's kind of topical, I would encourage you to do the Bible reading along with it so that you're being saturated with the Word of God. So quiet place, one-year Bible, blanket, basket. You can have your basket and put all your stuff in there. It'd be our own little special basket. Journal pen, and if you want, a dictionary or concordance. I usually don't do that. I just want to like focus, but then later on during the day, what did that word mean, or what, you know, then I'll go back and do that. But if that works for you and you like to have that concordance right there, what does that mean? Go for it. So it'll just make your learning deeper. So anyway, that's it. Let's remain in the sun. Let's go home and be ready. Amen. Let's not stop now.